How well do you know your neighbors? Some people have an extra key to their neighbor's place, but others have never met the person next door face to face. You're tuned to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss this are Vox contributor Julia Sullivan, Oakley resident Shira Krause, and Norwood Together executive director Meredith Whitehead. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks. So great to be here.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, Julia, who's more likely to know their neighbors? Are there generational differences in all this?
Yes, there are. So the data shows that older adults in suburban home-owning environments are the most likely to know their neighbors. And if you look at the statistics from a very overarching perspective, it would seem that a lot of Americans know their neighbors. But at the same time, there are these specific groups that definitely don't. Millennials and Gen Z, right at the top. Only about 25% of young adults report regularly talking to or interacting with their neighbors. That's a big drop from 2012, a 50% drop. People without a college degree, lower income individuals, also less likely to interact. Non-religious Americans report weaker ties to their community. A recent Gallup poll showed that U.S. adults who say that religion is an important part of their daily life dropped from 66% in 2015 to 49% in 2025. That's a recent Gallup poll.
So what are some of the reasons, Julia, that you heard when you were looking into all this for why many of us don't know our neighbors as well as people used to, like, you know, 20 or 30 years ago?
Of course. Well, my wonderful editor, Rachel Wilkerson Miller, asked for pitches, story pitches about neighbors. And I kind of laughed to myself thinking, I've lived in the same apartment with people my age, likely have tons of things in common, and I don't know a single one of them. And kind of realized that I am this statistic, this millennial, screen-obsessed, remote-working individual who's kind of hiding away in her apartment behind a screen. You know, and I also live in Phoenix, Arizona. That's a really car dependent place. And it can remove this opportunity for spur of the moment socializing. It can really help facilitate these neighbor relationships. You know, a lot of neighborhoods have really limited tenure rates. People just aren't staying in their homes or their apartments for as long as they used to. The pandemic is a big one. You know, it social distance kind of created this lasting solitary habit that we have today. And it also kind of shifted the way we view strangers. It caused us to be a lot less trusting. You know, but one of the most impactful reasons why we don't interact with our neighbors, according to many of the experts that I've interviewed, we just don't trust our neighbors as much like we used to, you know, and that can really be tied to this political and societal polarization, you know, that's this defining characteristic of, you know, our relationships in the United States, you know.
Yeah. Well, Shira, I know you're a millennial too, but our associate producer Harper says you were a terrific neighbor when she lived in the same apartment building as you. Super welcoming, friendly, made her feel good about living near you. What inspired you to be so welcoming? Are you just wired that way?
That's a great question. Thank you. I'm like blushing right now because that's so kind to hear. So I am 30. I guess I'm a millennial, or I'm on the cusp. and I guess for me, there were two motivations. One is, it was interesting hearing about the role of religion. I'm Jewish and I'm actually a rabbi. And so the values of hospitality, of being welcome, building community, that's really important to me. I grew up here in Cincinnati, and I want people to feel welcome and feel at home here. And the other reason is I've lived in buildings where I didn't know my neighbors, and that created more anxiety for me. So I wanted my apartment to feel like safe and feel comfortable, and we could talk about little things like, is your apartment as hot as my apartment? Do we need to tell the landlord to turn the heat down? But also, you know, hey, let's get together for dinner once a month or whatever. And Harper actually became good friends, and she's since moved out, but we've stayed friends, and I'm really grateful for that.
Yeah. Well, Meredith, I know part of your work with Norwood Together is trying to welcome people to the community as a whole. How do you facilitate creating a welcoming neighborhood? That seems like a big job.
Yes, it's a big job. And even though, I mean, Norwood has a population just shy of like 18,000 people, I've been in this role since October of last year. However, Norwood Together has had a great foundation. I'm sure everyone knows Mary C. Miller. She's awesome. She was one of the founders of the organization. And honestly, we're fairly young. We didn't get our 501c3 status until 2020. So for CDC, we're fairly young. So community is very important, which is a core part of our mission. But one of the great programs that we have, and even just looking at the evolution of Norwood as a city. The median age right now is 33.
Wow.
And Norwood has been considered, you know, almost a legacy city, right? And you've got these more diverse populations moving in. So one of the things that we try to do at Norwood Together, we have what's called the Welcome Bag Program. And as a new resident, whether you're renting, owning, whatever, you can sign up for the Welcome Bag. Someone from Norwood Together will deliver the bag. And the bag has, you know, a welcome letter from us just to welcome you to the community, give you an overview of what it is, of the services that we can provide or that we've provided in the past, but also introduce you to local businesses. Norwood is such a community, a tight community city. There are a lot of small businesses in Norwood, and so we do our best to promote them and work with the business owners.
Yeah. We're talking about tips for befriending the folks next door in a world where screens and social media have become the norm. Do you have advice to share or an especially welcoming neighbor? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or you can email talk@wvxu.org. And now I should say, Meredith, another one of our colleagues told us that her neighbor signed her up for the welcome bag. So that's something you can do to be neighborly in Norwood, I guess. Make sure your new neighbor gets one of those bags.
Yes. And then there's that. But we also, you know, we want people to have interaction with others. So we also have, you can apply for what's called a block party grant on our website through Norwood Together. We encourage residents to have cookouts and parties. And so with that grant, I think we give around, I think each grant is like $200. Towards a neighborhood gathering that
a
resident
is, a lot of burgers.
You know,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Some food, some drinks, whatever have you. And it really is a communal thing to do. So that's another way we do a lot of community engagement. We have the art show. We have the historic home tour. We have Halloween events. We do things for kids. We walk in the parade. We help with the city. We try to have as much visibility with community engagement as we can.
Yeah. Well, Julia, I know part of getting to know your neighbors is you have to be a little bit vulnerable. Like you have to be willing to wave at somebody, even if you might not get a wave back. Do you think that gets in some people's way?
I think it does. You know, and in speaking with this really amazing therapist who I interviewed for the article, she said that it's just start small. You don't have to think of getting to know your neighbors as this big, daunting task where you immediately have to be inviting them over for dinner and they're your best friends. Just a simple hello. You know, the expert that I spoke to said, just say hello to 10 people in the next week or month and just keep track of how many people say hi back. And the data shows that most people are going to be really receptive and eager to connect. People also are like you. You're not alone.
Okay. Well, Shira, let me ask you this, because you're clearly someone who does like become best friends with your neighbor and invites them to dinner and all that kind of stuff. So, but you know, as Julia mentioned earlier, our current political climate is pretty divisive. I know on the street where I live, we have political signs in different yards for opposing candidates every election cycle. It's not like everybody has the same, believes the same thing on the street. Do you think that can factor into whether people try to get to know their neighbors, whether you're in an apartment building or a house or whatever?
I'm not sure to what extent that has an impact. I think that sometimes we're socialized to see someone that disagrees with us as like the enemy, or don't talk to them, or we don't have anything in common. And one of the things that I value about neighborliness is that it transcends those divides. One thing we have in common is we all live on this block, or we all live in this building. So if the fire alarm goes off, that's going to affect all of us. And I think for me, that also extends beyond that, like, we're all on this planet together. And I've been very involved in supporting immigrants in our state too, because to me, it's an extension of that neighborliness value of we're here together, let's be neighbors together.
Yeah. What do you think, Meredith, in Norwood? I mean, there have got to be different political views in a city like Norwood.
So I would say yes. I do think it impacts how people interact. Norwood Together, we are nonpartisan. We try to, our main goal is to be a convener and elevate resident voices, but also be able to look at both sides of the coin. So, you know, we host things for both sides of the aisle during election season because we want, you know, voters to be informed. But again, I do think, going back to your point, right, people are in the same neighborhood. Clearly, somewhere we have some of the same interests. At a minimum, we're all human. And I think facilitating, at least with Norwood Together, facilitating some conversations and engaging political counterparts and things like that, it allows for us to be able to agree to disagree or at least find some understanding and some common ground. One thing that I have learned being at Norwood Together, again, I always say Norwood's greatest asset is the residents, the community. And everyone values community. So if we can figure out a way to kind of, you know, calm the noise and actually focus on priorities that would be in the benefit of the whole community. I'm sure not everyone's going to agree on everything, but holistically, right, we can make things work and we can find some common ground.
Yeah.
So that's really our goal.
Yeah. Well, Julia, you talk to experts who say there are important health and safety reasons to get to know your neighbors. I mean, Shira was just talking about the fire alarm going off. You want to know, you know, there are certain things that happen that affect everybody in an apartment building or a neighborhood. Can you talk to us about what they told you about that?
Of course. One expert that I interviewed, he conducted a study on neighborhoods post-Katrina, Hurricane Katrina, and he found that the communities with more social capital, so the communities where people knew each other, they cared for each other, they did favors for one another, they were more resilient, you know. So it's kind of this idea that having these strong social ties is a predictor of good mental health and also physical health. You know, the fire alarm is a great example, but even just knowing your neighbors, their routine, even if you're not especially friendly with them, could save their life. You know, perhaps you have an elderly neighbor, he takes out the trash at the same time each morning and he walks his dog religiously at the same time each morning, and he doesn't do that, that could end up saving a life. So there are just these significant safety and health benefits to knowing your neighbors.
Yeah. Shira, are there ways that you and your closest neighbors help each other out? I will say that someone told me you have new kittens.
I do, yeah. last November, I adopted a couple of kittens. And yeah, I get a lot of help from one of our neighbors who loves them. And every time I come back from a trip, because I travel a lot for work and stuff, I say, thank you so much. And he's like, no, thank you for giving me. He's like, I miss them since you've been back. So that's like an amazing way. And we had another neighbor who's since moved out who had a dog, and we would help out when she was out of town and things. And actually, we happened to be both working at Children's at the same time, and she had, there was something with her keys, and I ended up dropping off her keys for her at the hospital. And so it just feels very good both to receive that kind of support and kindness and to give it. And we have like a group chat where we've been able to communicate about things, or, you know, who's using the laundry. So it's very useful on a practical level. And also just for me, compared to other places where I've lived, when I walk in the door, I feel a sense of emotional and physical safety because I know, actually, we have some new neighbors. I haven't gotten to know them yet, but I definitely have some plans in the works.
Yeah. What about in Norwood, Meredith? You were nodding your head as Shira was talking about those favors people are, you know, she and her neighbors are doing for each other. Is there a lot of that that you see and observe happening in Norwood?
Absolutely. I think community is just an extension of family, right? It's hard for people to be able to do things just solely on their own. Norwood Together was started by a group of residents, right, that wanted more for their community. And they've maintained that same sense of community for the last at least, 6 to 9 years, right? And I think that knowing your neighbors, knowing your police officers, your first responders, like that's all part of your community. It does give you a sense of, one, like psychological safety, emotional safety, and physical safety. And then also, you can't do everything by yourself. So, having someone go let your dog out, it's the little things. I mean, Norwood Together, we do not have a full-time staff. We are a staff of two part-time employees, and we couldn't do the work that we do just even without our board. And you're talking about people who have jobs and families and all of these things, but everyone kind of pulls resources together for kind of one common goal. So it's nice to be able to have friends that you can depend on to help you get across the finish line a lot of times.
Yeah. Julia, we've talked about all the positives related to getting to know your neighbors. It can also help reduce negative neighbor interactions, right? Like arguments about noise or parking spots or stuff like that.
Oh, gosh. Yes, that is true. You know, I wrote two articles for Vox, one about how to meet your neighbors and the other, why does neighbor beef make you so irrationally angry? I mean, because I feel like we've all been there, the person vacuuming upstairs. I mean, it's this visceral, just seething anger that eats you up inside. But, a lot of times it's just because, again, it's that distrust factor coming in. You don't know these people. It's someone totally anonymous. And you kind of think of them as the enemy. In a way, a therapist described this to me as like your resource guarding. So that vacuum upstairs, very animal instinct, that vacuum upstairs feels like an infringement on your personal space, on your rights. But when you know these people, perhaps you know that person upstairs works nights, or they have a new baby. You might understand that they're just living their life like you are. I always use the example of I have covered parking spaces in my apartment complex, and I've called a tow truck company when someone parks at my spot, which in the moment feels like a rational thing for me to do, without realizing that this person could have been confused, that this is just another human trying to live their life. So kind of when you get to know your neighbors, that level of empathy comes into play.
Yeah. Meredith, how important is it to put effort into these relationships? I mean, we talked about starting off small, waving and the smile and that sort of thing, but how important is it to really put effort into being a good neighbor?
For at least Norwood Together, it's critical, right? Without the community, we don't function. We literally depend on our residents, our community partners, to support the work that we do. So for us, it's extremely critical. Also, one of the things that we do, I mentioned earlier, was we want to elevate resident voices. We need you at our events. We need you at our community forums. We need you to tell us what's going on or, what you need in order for us to be able to exist and carry out the work that we do. So I think being a good neighbor or getting to know your neighbors is a very critical and very basic fundamental tool for building, what everyone would like to call a thriving community.
Yeah. So Shira, what's your advice as a first step for somebody if they've just moved into a new place or maybe somebody who's been there for a while, like Julia said, who's been there for a while but still doesn't know their neighbors? What's that first step you can take without coming off weird?
Well, I try to let go of the coming off weird. I mean, I know that I'm a very outgoing, extroverted person. I will talk to you on an airplane, unless you have headphones in. My partner is like much more introverted, so I'm thinking like, what's the advice I would give him? And I think starting with waving, saying hello. You can, make some cookies for someone. You can just introduce yourself. I think. Even just as they're moving in, ask if they need a hand. I had someone the other day saw I had a bunch of stuff I was coming home with from, traveling or whatever. And they're like, do you need help bringing this up the stairs. So just, you know, noticing, being aware, maybe leaving a nice note, things like that, I think is a great way to just get started.
Yeah. What would Mr. Rogers do, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, this has been a lot of fun. I have been talking with Vox contributor Julia Sullivan, Oakley resident Shira Krause, and Norwood Together executive director Meredith Whitehead. Thank you all so much for your time today and for this terrific conversation.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah. Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director is Carlos Lopez-Cornu. If you miss our program live, you can find Cincinnati Edition wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lucy May. Thanks so much for listening.